Ryan Hyatt's Raiderland, featuring Rob Bro.
At that time, Vegas was a place where millions of suckers flew in every year on their own nickel and left behind about $1 billion. But at night, you couldn't see the desert that surrounds Las Vegas. But it's in the desert where lots of the town's problems are solved.
And a lot of holes in the desert, and a lot of problems are buried in those holes. Except you gotta do it right. I mean, you gotta have the hole already dug before you show up with a package in the truck. Otherwise, you're talking about a half hour or 45 minutes of digging. And who knows who's gonna be coming along in that time. Before you know it, you gotta dig a few more holes.
Ryan Hyatt's Raiderland.
Oh, good morning, West Texans. All you good, fine, friendly folks out there who wish you were. You got Ryan Hyatt's Raiderland featuring Rob Bro taking it till 1 o'clock. We'll turn morning into afternoon with you fine folks right here in the Arctic Air Studios. You listen in San Angelo on ESPN 960 and Lubbock. It's Talk 103.9 FM. News, money, sports. You could already be texting in 806-855-3712. Be sure and use that 806. It goes to the angry man in Florida. 806-855-3712. You know what we do on Friday? You tell us the most Texan thing that you have done during the week. So you could even text that in before the show starts, before you even know what else we're talking about. You can probably guess what else we're talking about. It's day two of the NCAA tournament. We're just a few minutes away from the first games getting going on the day. In about 10 minutes or so, USC, the 10 seed and 7 seed Michigan State will tip it off. Sparty, a 2-point favorite in that one. Then it'll be Kennesaw State and Xavier, a 14-13 matchup. And then at 12:30, the first Big 12 team of the day gets going. Baylor, the 3 seed in the South against number 14 UCSB. Later on today, Iowa State, 2:10, tip off against the 11th seed Pittsburghers. And at some point, Kansas State's going to play, right? They're going to play. 8:40 tonight. They have the next to the last tip off against Montana State, a team that Texas Tech just absolutely drilled last year. And the last game of the day, you got to stay up late for the Horned Frogs. They tip it off at 9:05. So it's a little bit of the rundown of what's going on today. We'll be keeping up with that. How your bracket's doing, we'll find out. We got Tech Baseball starting their series tonight. The Lady Raiders win a postseason game for the first time since 2011-2012, beating UTEP last night in the WNIT, advancing to what will hopefully be a second home hosting deal for the Lady Raiders. Is it confirmed? Do we have it? Okay, I didn't have it in front of me. All right, let's line up. People start lining up. It's a return to the days of the Southwest Conference. It's Marcia Sharp versus Rhonda Rampola. Or if you want to go back even farther, Welton Brown coming to town. So all that and anything else that is on your mind today, get on the text line, 806-855-3712. You listen on the apps. I know you do. That's cool. If you don't, download it at kkm.com. Then hit that notification button so you'll get notified of things you need to know about. Of course, you can follow the station on Twitter, at Talk1039. Me, I'm just Ryan Hyatt, at Ryan Hyatt Media on Twitter. You can find our website, theraiderland.com. Check out our daily broadcast. We usually go around 6:30-ish in the evening. Might have Diamond Talk post-game tonight. Tech and Oklahoma State, first pitch 6:30. So who knows, we might even go a little bit early today to get all of that accommodated. But be sure and follow us on Twitter, at Ryan Hyatt Media. He's Rob Bro. He pulses the people. King of Hat of the Day, which I don't know if today is a coded message or not. One-third of the Gambling Gauchos, host of the Rob Bro Show, from 1 to 2 every Monday through Friday on Talk 103.9 FM. Happy Friday. It was the one in the truck. It's not you trying to make amends after the Gauchos buddied up and held hands with West Virginia and walked off that plank together yesterday. No. Oh, yeah, see? Well, you got a green shirt on. Yeah, it's green. I mean, yeah, whatever. I thought about wearing orange today, but I don't have any orange shirts, so I ended up wearing green on the day. So all of that going on, so many things to look at. I'm intrigued to see how your bracket's held up through day one. Today's, though, the question of the day with Tech and Oklahoma State playing baseball. Who is Texas Tech's baseball rival? If you were going to rank 1, 2, 3, where you feel, as a Texas Tech fan, who the most hated rival is when it comes to baseball, How does that look? We've talked about at different times your rivalries can be different sport to sport, depending on who's good in what sports and whether you're good in certain sports or anything else. For my money, I think Texas Tech and Oklahoma State hit the ground running as rivals in 1997 when the Big 12 was created, and ain't nothing stopped it since then. Well, Tech dominated of late, winning 14 of the last 16. This series is almost completely even over the years. It's amazingly, amazingly close for a baseball series where you play that many times. It's going to be cold. It looks like it's going to be dry, hopefully, tonight, tomorrow. And I say hopefully not from my standpoint, but from people's standpoint who are going to the baseball game. I would love to see some precipitation right now. But I agree that I think you'll still have over 3,000 bodies there at Dan Law Field, Rip Griffin Park, and you'll still have a very into it crowd. I mean, why not? People are used to seeing Tech and Oklahoma State play all the time now. It feels like, you know, Tech swept at Obrate last year. But man, it feels like they have just played nothing but games in Lubbock over the last seven or eight seasons, I mean, particularly when you had the NCAA. Yeah, just interesting how that has worked out. But yeah, your baseball hate in the Big 12, your rival, who do you consider Texas Tech's rival when we look at the Big 12? 806-855-3712 for you to get on that. Again, you can tell us how your brackets did. I am at 12-4 after day one. And Rob, I'm not sure how your bracket held up. I have at this time lost one Sweet 16 team. So as I go through the first round, that's really always what I'm looking at, is how bad do your losses day one, day two kill your bracket later on? And there were a lot of people who probably with that Princeton over Arizona win last night, you know, probably saw some Elite Eight, maybe even a lot of people. Oh, wait, I know one. Jay Billis, the super smart Jay Billis. Super smart Jay Billis, Arizona national champions. No, Arizona not playing in the second round now after Princeton gets another one. They're the only one I've lost in the Sweet 16. I had them getting beat by Baylor. Oh, and by the way, with Baylor playing today, did that region not just really open up for them to have a date with Alabama if Alabama gets that far? I mean, now you're looking at, if you're Baylor, and I think it will be Creighton. That's going to be if Creighton doesn't shoot it well, they won't get past NC State. But you got to get by Creighton, and then possibly Missouri's the team next up that you'd have to get through. It really opened up for the Big 12 on that one. And Bama was interesting, too, last night, because Brandon Miller doesn't score, and they still just absolutely stomp Texas A&M Corpus Christi 96-75. I'm not sure that was a cover, though, depending on what number you had. So tell us how your brackets are doing on that front. 806-855-3712. Rob, we also do have, I think, some breaking Texas Tech men's basketball coach search news. We are declaring here today that go ahead and just scratch that interview with Oral Roberts and Paul Mills. We talk all the time about players putting down tape, you know, that you play good, you play hard because you're putting down tape. Even though your season may be done, you're trying to play for your next coach, your next job. If that was the job interview in the interview with Tracy Wolfson yesterday when they are getting beat by Duke, I want no part of it. 74-51, but they look completely outclassed. And he says during the game that we're intimidated, we're scared. Well, okay. That told me last night, not a Big 12 level coach. Not running a Big 12 level program there. You know? Not getting there. 100%. I just, that last night, that's all I need to know. And I already wasn't really in on, well, any of those guys that are coming from places like Oral Roberts. Forgive me. Forgive me for being, I've turned into an elitist. No. Yeah. That told me what I needed to know. Just go ahead and scratch that off. That, I mean, you can't control how athletic your team is once you reach that, but you can control the mindset. You can control how hard you... Princeton controlled the mindset. They actually kind of controlled the game. As Arizona players saying afterwards, we just were lethargic and we had low energy and we just weren't very good and all that. But that right there, that told me, okay, scratch off that name. And really anybody who kind of looks like him on the profile, I'm just not interested. Said yesterday, I'm a little bit underwhelmed right now, maybe on some of the names that we keep hearing linked to it, but that's just it. They're just linked to it right now. I still firmly believe that you've got people that are busy right now. You've got people that are busy coaching, and hopefully they're busy coaching in the NCAA tournament. That would be another caveat we would throw out there. 806-855-3712 for you guys to join the conversation today. Give us who you think Texas Tech's baseball rival is within the Big 12. Do we throw Texas out at this point since they're no longer really going to be in the Big 12 much longer? Yeah, I say we just throw Texas and Oklahoma out of the mix. Say we're only going to select teams that Tech's going to be playing against going forward. No, I mean, never has been. Not saying that, but I'm just... Yeah. TCU over Oklahoma State? Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. You can even just rank them top three, however you want to put them. Yeah. Hey, is your mic properly functioning? I had somebody just tell me that they were not. I was hearing you loud and clear.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I had that wrong.
Holy cow, I can't believe what you just said.
I had the board set up from yesterday still.
I can't believe what you just said.
Oh, man, that's embarrassing.
That whole
3-minute
tirade that you had?
Yeah, it was
Holy
good.
Cow. Every now and then.
Well, at least people are listening.
That's well. I got one early, and I'm like, well, no. I mean, I got you loud and clear in my headset. I don't know.
Oh, anyways.
Maybe somebody inserted a chip on their phone where you couldn't hear Rob's voice.
You know what? I'm not even going to go back and say what I was saying.
I think
that's just lost to the lost,
it's
lost
gone.
To the
it's
ether.
No way we'll ever know. Yeah. I still can't believe you said that. All right.
I'm out on Paul Mills, though.
There you go. Out on Paul Mills. He agrees. Big 12 baseball teams that you hate the most. Who are Tech's rivals when it comes to college baseball? Big series tonight. Get your thoughts in on that. Tell us how you're doing on your brackets. Be honest. Tell us the real story. I don't want to hear all these people who picked Furman and Princeton. And yeah, I got you. I don't want to hear all that today. 806-855-3712. We will take a timeout, quick timeout, as it were. Remount and reload. We got you till 1 o'clock today. A lot of fun stuff. Tell us the most Texan thing you've done as well. 806-855-3712. It's Ryan Hyatt's Raiderland, featuring the now highly talkative Rob Bro. It's 11:21. You got Ryan Hyatt's Raiderland, really featuring Rob Bro. Got still 1 o'clock today here in the Arctic Air Studios. As you listen in on ESPN 960 San Angelo, Talk 103.9 FM News Money Sports. Give us who you consider Texas Tech's top rivals in baseball within the Big 12. They got Oklahoma State tonight. Big game. Tomorrow is probably the premier pitching matchup in this one. But really, all weekend long as they match up again, it's two ranked teams getting together, I think six straight times now that they played. Both teams have been ranked. Day two of the NCAA tournament. How's your bracket holding up? I have lost one Sweet 16 team so far in Arizona. 12-4 on the day. In the first segment, Rob told us about his 15-1 day yesterday. Congratulations. That was a heck of a run right there. 9-4 Sparty over USC in the first half, 15-43. So... Robert has texted in, 806-855-3712. He declares that he has UCSB beating Baylor. Man, I'm not seeing that one.
Me
Sorry.
Too.
I'm not seeing that one.
Me
you
too,
got the Gauchos?
Backup. Yeah, just the Gauchos, yeah.
Yeah.
Not because I think they'll win, but just because the Gauchos.
Gauchos support Gauchos. Is that like a code?
Yeah.
That Gauchos
it's a code
support
of honor.
Gauchos?
Yeah.
Kind of like family.
By the way, I had Arizona losing to Creighton, I believe, in my original pass. And then I was like, you know what? I want to go a little more chalk. I'll choose one team that I had losing early and put them through to the Final Four. I chose Arizona.
So that was your flip.
So I put Arizona in the Final Four. That was like the one big move I made. I should have just left it. I should have trusted my gut, but no, I didn't.
You're like me though, that you pretty much just you write down the bracket one time and whatever you come up with, that's it.
I should have done that.
You
yes.
know? That I don't agonize over it too much. Like this USC Michigan State game. Most of my play on that is fading what I think is not a very good Big Ten. Now, of course, you know, saw yesterday against West Virginia, but whatever. That was, come on, West Virginia, you got to pull your weight just a little bit more. Texter Hyatt, did Doughboy have saddle bronc horse named after him at the Houston livestock show and rodeo last night? Doughboy has appeared in several rodeos, including the 2022 NFR. I don't know. I don't know if there's any sort of connection. Could be. I mean, he's a wild trucker. That's a wild bucking horse. I don't know. We'll find out when we hear from him. Good news. Jeff in Houston says he can now hear Jacob. So that's good. Glad we got that. Texter, the most Texan thing I did this week was visiting the Dr. Pepper Museum in Waco. I'm kind of embarrassed to say that I've not been in there. I've been in the Texas Ranger Museum in the Texas Sports Hall of Fame, but I've not gone in the Dr. Pepper Museum. And then we found out just yesterday that one of our loyal listeners is going to be going to the Best Made Pickle Factory tour.
Yeah, we need an update on that.
I really want to know how that goes.
Were they heading there yesterday, or is that they were heading there for this weekend's tour?
Maybe this weekend. I'm not really sure. But
yeah, we need an update on that.
As soon as it happens, we really do need to find out what is going on there. Okay, so during that first segment when the microphone was obviously not working there for Rob, I said we saw a job interview last night for Tech Men's Basketball head coaching vacancy, and I thought it went poorly. You guys heard my thoughts on Paul Mills. Rob, I'll let you kind of sum up what you said because it was to me it was glaring why he should not be a candidate for Texas Tech.
I mean, I just basically said what you said that – It wasn't the fact that he lost to Duke. Duke is good. Duke is always good. Duke is a 5 seed this year, but it's still Duke. There's still a D on their jersey. It's still the ACC King or whatever. The fact that they just didn't even show up.
Right.
And then the mid-game interview, he just peed down his leg and said, you know, oh, it's Duke. You have 6 Dukes
yes.
in the Big 12 right now.
Every night you play Duke in the Big 12.
Yeah, so I don't think Paul Mills has it between the ears to coach in the Big 12.
You know who really didn't have it either? The guy I'm backing at Marquette. That I go back to the theory that some people punch up better, although they obviously didn't punch up last night with Earl Roberts, but that there are just certain landing spots that I think coaches are more comfortable at. And, you know, we saw that he was given the keys to a really nice car to drive, and Shaka Smart really didn't drive it all that well for a lot of different reasons. And one more time, let's just say it. Right now in 2023, I don't consider this Texas Tech job one where you are on the job training, growing up somebody, looking for the up-and-comer to, you know, we got to go find the guy and do more with less. No, that's not who you are right now. That's what this program is not. And you can thank the previous 2 head coaches, 3 head coaches for that, including Mark Adams. But you're a program now that if you want to go hire Jerome Tang away from Kansas State, you can. Now, I'm not saying he will leave, but you can do that. Look at some of the people that have recently left Kansas State for other jobs. I'm just saying. But Texas Tech has got to, and I believe they are, having that mindset, but I don't want to hear any more names like Paul Mills out there associated with it. I mean, I guess if you want to do a buddy a favor and interview him or something like that, whatever you can. but it doesn't do anything for me. 806-855-3712. That is 806-855-3712 to get on the text line. We're asking today, who is Texas Tech's baseball rival with Oklahoma State in town? How would you rank those, the great rivalries in the Big 12 involving Texas Tech and the other teams? I still go basically because of longevity, but also how close that the series have been over the years. I still go with Oklahoma State. Now, Tech and TCU over the Tadlock era, safe to say, over the Tadlock era, that has turned into all sorts of stuff, even involving, you know, state representatives getting mad about water in the tree and going back and forth on social media with Tech people. That rivalry over the last several years has been meaningful. But each time you play Oklahoma State, it's meaningful. That's, to me, part of the definition of a rivalry.
Yes.
When you play, do the games mean something? And for those two teams against Texas Tech, inherently over the last 8 years, when you have played them, it has meant something. And we'll leave Texas out of the discussion on this one today. I'd like to focus on the teams that are going to be a part of the Big 12 going forward and not Texas going forward. Although, I'll be really disappointed if Tech can't and Texas can't figure out a way to continue to play non-conference in baseball. That I think it would be really good. You could do a Tuesday night in Lubbock, and then you could do it the next Tuesday in Austin, and you could play these teams twice a year. I think that would be great from an RPI standpoint for both teams. And I hope that is something that with the new Big 12 baseball schedule, they're able to do. All right, bottom of the hour break. You guys get on the text line, 806-855-3712. Tell us how your bracket's doing. Who you got today? We'll take baseball on your mind. We'll discuss that with you. Lady Raiders win in advance. And the Cowboys are going to be just fine at quarterback for the next 2 years. Don't you guys worry. Everything is okay. There's no need to be in a rush here. 806-855-3712. It's Ryan Hyatt's Raiderland featuring Rob Bro.
Point nine.
The preacher man says it's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a going dry.
It's 11:35. We got Ryan Hyatt's Raiderland featuring Rob Bro working our way through hour number one, the Arctic Air Studios. Got you on ESPN 960 in San Angelo and in Lubbock. Talk 103.9 FM, news, money, sports. Question of the day, Big 12 baseball teams, who's your rival if you're Texas Tech? How do you guys rank the rivals right now for the Red Raiders? You got one of them in town, in my opinion, in Oklahoma State starting tonight. Every Friday you tell us the most Texan thing you have done. And we can continue looking at this NCAA tournament day two. Tell us how your bracket is doing. Right now, if you've got Michigan State, you feel okay. 19-11. Spartans up over USC. That is a nationwide arena there in Columbus. So there you go. 10-7 matchup. 10-28 to go in the first half on that one. Texters are on the text line. 806-855-3712. Texter says, well, my bracket in the crapper, and that was without the upsets. Musselman from Arkansas is my choice for coach. He checks all the boxes. I'm trying to remember last week we were looking at some coach contracts and different things. What was it on Musselman? You could probably give him about $1 million raise if you're talking in that $5 million range.
I think
or
you could have. I'm
not sure.
Would he leave for $1 million raise? Yeah. And that was the number from last year. How much did it increase year over year? Because you usually, you know, backload the contracts.
Right.
Is he making 4-5 now? Could you go 5-5? And again, can and will
right.
are two different things. Can you? Yes, you have.
I would for a guy who's got skins on the wall. Another nice tournament win for him last night. They handled Illinois 73-63. So Terrence Shannon Jr. career coming to an end. Against Arkansas. That had to feel vaguely familiar there for Terrence Shannon Jr., I guess, maybe. But so Yeah, I mean, I would. That's it. Musselman is exactly who I want Texas Tech to be getting turned down by. And by that, I mean that you are seriously offering and saying, all right, we want to talk. And if a guy like that says no, that's just fine. That's not a slap to your program. If Musselman says no, I do actually like it here in Little Rock and Fayetteville. I'm good. I'm okay. That's okay. But if you're not targeting some of these people, then that's not okay. If you're not targeting them just because we don't think we can get them or whatever. No, that is not anything we want to do. There's some other coach. It's not news now, but obviously Bill Self. They didn't need him yesterday for Kansas to advance fairly easily, 96-68. They do have Arkansas next. I was listening to an interview last night though with Brent Musburger, and Musburger is still really plugged in, particularly when it comes to high level. You know, the guys that he's known for 15, 20, 30 years. And he kind of dropped in his interview that this self-health issue is more serious than perhaps it is being portrayed and reported on. Now, he did not go much more into detail other than that, than just saying that and I'm paraphrasing right now for Brent, but kind of the way it's being characterized is not nearly as serious as maybe what we're looking at. So I don't know. I mean, I pre-tournament, I picked them to win. Every indication seemed to be, hey, he just took a few days, had that procedure done. He's good to go. Then all of a sudden, he's not able to coach against Howard, and you weren't going to need him. That's fine. But it's still, if it were my relative, if it were my brother or my dad, you know, or whatever, Are we walking such a fine line that I can't coach on Thursday, but I can coach on Friday and Saturday?
Right.
And I say all this, and I don't want anything to be seriously wrong with Bill Self. I'm not a huge Jayhawks fan. I'm not a huge Bill Self fan. I'm a human being. I want to be okay. But, man, that just to me, something there. It's raising my radar antenna on what's going on. And when I hear somebody like Brent Musburger say that it's not quite being characterized perhaps the way it should be from a reporting standpoint, okay, you've got my attention. Then the question becomes, Rob, if you don't have Bill Self coaching Kansas, how different does your bracket look? I mean, for me, you know, if I had an inkling that he might not coach a game in this tournament or maybe can't just flat out go against Arkansas, how much does that change it? Every team right now that you look at maybe to make a deep run to the Final Four has issues. We haven't even talked about Houston yet, as Sasser has to get pulled at halftime, which makes me question. This was a 63-52 game.
Right.
It makes me question why Samson played him. And you know why he played him? Because he felt like he needed him to get the win against Northern Kentucky.
Yeah.
The team that Texas Tech played in the tournament several years ago.
That was a tough game, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was a little worried.
Wasn't that like a 10-point game or something?
Close that year until you kind of pulled away at the end.
Yeah.
I think you pulled away at the end against them. You pulled away at the end against Buffalo, Florida.
Yeah.
Purdue. Is that the right order?
Yeah. No, because you went out west that year in 19.
No, that was the year before.
Was that the year before? Okay.
Was Northern Kentucky, was that the 19 year?
Yeah, I believe it was.
Oh, maybe so.
Yeah. Either way.
So Buffalo was the first game.
Right.
That's right.
So that tells me that they felt like they needed Sasser to win the game. But as much as anything else, then you see Shedd go down. He hyperextends his knee. Now, after the game, he said he expects to play on Saturday, but still, that's a pretty quick turnaround against an Auburn team that'll have a ton of fans there, and you have to go past the Charles Barkley hex. So, you know, they've got their issues. Bama, last night we mentioned, Brandon Miller doesn't even score last night. I mean, they didn't need him. It was an easy win, but you would have thought that he might have dropped a basket in there at one point or another. Is the attention getting to him? Is the pressure getting to him, the scrutiny about how did they say it on the selection show? A criminal event? Being around a criminal event of some sort. Yeah. We don't really know.
A criminal event. It was murder.
There was some sort of criminal event. Texter wants to know, does a coach like Jerry Stackhouse stand a chance? Probably not. Doesn't do anything for me.
Yeah.
I mean, we all know it's going to be Jerome Tang. I don't know why we're even, continuing the discussions.
I don't think it'll be Jerome Tang.
I mean, you're wearing a Kansas State Wildcats hat today because obviously you have heard that it's going to be Jerome Tang.
I have not heard that. For the opposite.
Exactly. But make him say no.
I think he already said no.
Yeah. That's what you got to do.
Yeah.
Well, maybe he said, hold on, I'm still busy.
Okay, maybe so. Yeah, maybe so.
Maybe he said, I'll get back to you.
Maybe so.
That could have been the conversation. Again, not turning down the date, just saying, I got to wash my hair Saturday night.
He didn't say no. He said, not yet.
Not yet.
Yeah.
Those are two totally different things. So we, my feed just went out. Man, this is frustrating. 24-15, Michigan State leading USC right now. Boy, that USC pick's looking really good for me. Really doing well on that one. Thank you, Trojans. Pac-12 just.
And Maryland was down 13 yesterday.
Yeah, huge game of runs both ways in that one. They are just underway. Xavier and Kennesaw State there in the Midwest region in Greensboro, and it's all X-Men. Finally Kennesaw State on the board, 7-2. At the 17:43 mark.
Xavier, my national championship pick.
And then does Xavier lose their head coach after that?
Yeah, well, maybe. I don't know. Maybe not to Texas Tech.
Yeah.
I have no idea what's going on in the coaching search, and I think that's the way they want it.
Yeah, for the most part.
Yeah.
Again, hopefully, everybody you're talking to, hopefully, is still busy in some form or fashion.
Did you see the interview that, or podcast or whatever that Stuart Mandel did?
No.
I believe it was yesterday, maybe even the day before. But they asked him when Gonzaga was going to be announced as a Big 12 member as a joke.
Right.
And he said next week. Seriously.
Next week.
They said, when will they be playing basketball in the Big 12? He said next week. And they were like, oh, ha, ha, ha. And he's like, well, not playing, but that's going to be announced. So, post-tournament, Big 12 member Gonzaga announced as a basketball-only member.
Right.
On the back of that, the St. Mary's coach is like, wait. I'm not going to get to play Gonzaga anymore. This conference stinks. Maybe I should leave.
Probably should.
Yeah.
I've reconciled myself to the fact that there will probably be at least one and maybe more basketball-only teams in the Big 12.
Yeah.
And that tells me that Brett Yormark has gotten the go-ahead from TV people to say you can break out basketball-only going forward and negotiate a separate rights deal not involving basketball within the football broadcast rights and other stuff. And that they're willing to pay for it.
Yeah.
That's what that tells me at this point.
If Gonzaga joins as a basketball-only member or a non-football member, even if they bring baseball and the Olympic sports, because I think that's the deal. I think basketball and Olympic sports maybe is what they're doing. Regardless, if they come over in that aspect and there's not a separation in the media rights deals, it will not end well.
No.
But if there's a separation in the media rights deals, I think it's going to be a great, great deal for the Big 12.
Yeah. I mean, this only works, like you said, if it's broken out. If basketball is broken out separately, and now, I have no idea how to run a metric on what that might mean, additional money to every Big 12 institution. Is it worth it to get an extra $2 million to have another two basketball-playing schools? Do you need $3 million? What do you need to make that work? But I think what we'd already talked about is even if you didn't add anybody, right now the Big 12 is the SEC of college basketball. That the Big 12 has the rivalries. The Big 12 has the storylines. The Big 12 has the names that people tune into on Big Monday, Big Tuesday, Wednesday, whenever they play. that you've already got that in place going forward,
right?
That it would only get better. So, I mean, I have no idea what that number in addition to what you're getting right now would be, but I would say minimum of maybe $2 million per school that you could drive that number with the additional money from breaking out basketball. That's worth it, I guess. I mean, $2 million is still $2 million, right? Then we're kind of losing the impact sometimes now of millions of dollars within these athletic programs. But
yeah, well, I mean, does it go? Does it take $2 million out of the original deal, and then the new deal's four?
Four, yeah. That how is that factored in on that?
Yeah, so I don't know.
So it's something. I mean, Stuart Mandel, he is plugged into the West Coast. He knows all.
So
if he said it, it's got to be true. Stewie going to be covering the Big 12. Awesome. All right, we got to take the final timeout, hour number one, give you a chance to jam up the text line, 806-855-3712. Big 12 baseball team that you hate the most. Who's Tech's top rivals when it comes to Big 12 baseball? Got Oklahoma State tonight. We're talking basketball as well, keeping up with the early games. See how your bracket's doing. Little Tech basketball coach search, just because we got to milk this dang thing while we can. Tech will hire a coach eventually. Whatever else might be on your mind. 806-855-3712. It's Ryan Hyatt's Raiderland featuring Rob Bro.
An update on Talk 1340. Check out VSiN's catalog of original podcasts, daily and weekly programming to keep you in the know when you're on the go. Only at VSIN.com. Now, here are the latest lines from my guys in the desert.
NCAA tournament top 25 teams in action today. Number 13, Xavier by 12.5 against Kennesaw State. Number 11, Baylor's favored by 10.5 against UC Santa Barbara. Number 19, St. Mary's favored by 4 against VCU. Number 6, Marquette, 10.5 point favorites against Vermont. Number 10, Connecticut's favored by 9 against Iona. Number 3, Purdue by 23 against Fairleigh Dickinson. The money line plus 1,500. Number 16, Miami by 2 against Drake. Number 9, Gonzaga, 15-point favorite against Grand Canyon. The money line plus 1,000. Get the latest lines and more at vsin.com.
Final segment hour, number 1 of 2. Ryan Hyatt's Raiderland featuring Rob Bro. Got you till 1 o'clock today in the Arctic Air Studios. You tell us the most Texan thing you've done this week. That's every Friday. 806-855-3712. Give us your Big 12 baseball rivals for Texas Tech. How do you rank the rivalries in the Big 12? 1, 2, 3, however you want to do that. As Tech and Oklahoma State tonight out at Danlaw Field. Pitching matchups are set for the first 2 days, so we'll see how things transpire. About 6:30 tonight on the first pitch. NCAA tournament day two. 2:47 left for Michigan State and USC. And USC tightening it up. It's 28-27 Michigan State. And Kennesaw State making a little bit of a run against third seed Xavier right now. It's 20-11, 14-15 to go in the first half. 806-855-3712. Obviously, we'll still entertain discussions on Texas Tech's next men's basketball coach. Are we watching him coach as we speak? Maybe, maybe not. Not as we speak.
I was about to say, you know, Tom Izzo.
As the tournament goes on. Yes, okay. It's time to bring Tom Izzo home.
Coming home.
Texter wants to know, have y'all discussed getting a coach from the Scott Drew family tree instead of coaching tree? Well, that would make us have to talk about Bryce Drew, I guess, out at Grand Canyon, where he's had a modicum of success over the last few years out there. Again, sorry, no. And I don't know if the texture is being funny or not, but
no, I've heard that more and more in the last couple of days.
No, I mean, dude, it's not like he's a 30-something up-and-coming guy, you know?
How old is he?
He's got to be in his 50s, I would think. He's got to be around 50.
Scott Drew's son? How old is Scott Drew?
No, I'm talking about Bryce Drew. I'm talking about his brother.
Oh, it's his brother.
Yeah.
I thought it was his son.
No, this is his brother. Yeah, Scott Drew, you didn't know he's 80.
Oh, I was like, what in the world?
Yeah, he has aged well. You knew he'd been at Baylor a while.
I didn't look at him at all. I don't know who Bryce Drew is. I don't care to know who he is.
He had that famous half-court heave for Valpo back in the tournament in like 96 or 7 or somewhere through there.
I just assumed it was his son.
Yeah. He may not be 50. He's probably mid to late 40s. But no, I mean, you shouldn't be hiring somebody from Grand Canyon. I don't care if they're great.
Yeah, I either want a guy who is coaching high-level basketball. It doesn't mean Power 6, but high-level basketball. Or a guy who has been at a Power 5 and is kind of in and out. Maybe he's in the NBA. Maybe he's had a recent scandal and gone back down or whatever else. I don't know.
Of course, some of these scandals now are legal.
Right.
Right? I mean, some of the stuff that we're seeing different coaches have some problems with, hey, now you're running it through the athletic department, or they're trying to at places like A&M. Texter says, I'd rather have Grandmama coaching than Stackhouse. Grandmama was born in Tyler, so he has Texas connections.
Did that just say Charles Barkley was 16-0 on his brackets?
Tell me no. I didn't see that graphic.
Really? That can't be true.
Huh. Surely not.
Surely. I think somebody was in. It was either 0-16 or 16-0.
I'd believe 0-16 before I'd believe the others. Hey, as we're watching this feed, this is a good time for a yearly reminder, and more people have the ability to do live in-game wagering that are in our audience, because people would listen to us all around the country.
Right, nationwide.
If you have the ability to do in-game wagering, only do it about halfway through a TV timeout or a stoppage in play that is longer than a minute. And here's why. Most people don't realize how far behind your feed is compared to what the sports books have access to through a wide variety of things. But bottom line is they're ahead of you while the game is going on, and you aren't seeing everything when you try to get a live in-game bet. And that's why you get the spinning wheel of death. I'm sure this has happened to some of y'all before. That, you know, it's called getting spun in the industry. And they just spin you. And what you thought, you know, all of a sudden you were going to get live in-game, you know, -3.5. All of a sudden now it's -4.5. Because you know what? You just missed a 3 go in. You hadn't seen it happen yet. So no matter where you are behind. Now, particularly, and I think most people realize this, if you're watching it on an app or a feed, you know, what are we watching this on in here right now? Is this, it showed Paramount Plus when we logged in, you know, so I think it was Paramount Plus Live TV is what we were getting. We're a minute and a half behind here.
Right.
Maybe
game time.
So understand that, please. If you are doing the in-game wagering, please only do it during the stoppage of plays. That's the only time you're on the same footing as the book. All right. Top of the hour break, 806-855-3712. Baseball team that you consider to be Tech's Big 12 rival. Who are those teams? They're good rivalries for you. NCAA tournament action rolls on. We'll update when we come back. Izzo looks like a happy man. 806-855-3712. It's Ryan Hyatt's Raiderland featuring Rob Bro.
Ryan Hyatt's Raiderland, a presentation of the Texas Town Square Media Network. Ryan Hyatt's Raiderland featuring Rob Bro.
A lot of you like us, more of you don't. But you know what? We don't care.
Ryan Hyatt's Raiderland.
Welcome back. Hour number two, Ryan Hyatt's Raiderland featuring Rob Bro. We've done it again. Congrats to us. And I don't know how we do it, really, truly. We do it with the help of y'all. We've turned morning into afternoon once again in the Arctic Air Studios. As you listen in on ESPN 960 in San Angelo and in Lubbock, Talk 103.9 FM News, Money Sports. I truly don't know how long this streak can continue. It really is amazing. He's Rob Bro at Rob Bro Show on Twitter, one third of the Gambling Gauchos, and the host of the properly named Rob Bro Show from 1 to 2, Monday through Friday on Talk 103.9. I'm just Ryan Hyatt at Ryan Hyatt Media on Twitter. You can see all of our work at TheRaiderland.com, including last night's daily broadcast, if you want to check that out. So it's TheRaiderland.com. We'll be back with you tonight around 6:30-ish for a daily broadcast. I say that, give or take, it may be a post-game Diamond Talk. We'll just play fast and loose with you on a Friday here. So follow us on Twitter, at Ryan Hyatt Media. You can join the show today, 806-855-3712. NCAA Tournament Day 2 in action. We've made it to halftime with USC and Michigan State all knotted up, as they would say, 34-all. And then in the second game of the day to get started, Xavier and Kennesaw State. Rob, they've tied it up. Kennesaw State 23, Xavier 23.
Danger zone.
Is somebody failing a job interview today there for Xavier?
No, he just doesn't want to. He doesn't want another job, is what it is. He wants to stay at Xavier.
That's it. He's deliberately tanking so as to not appear to be attractive and on anybody's radar.
To be honest here, I don't think that's a job interview that Tech's going to have.
No, I don't think so. I would be surprised.
Just so people can, some people don't get sarcasm.
Yeah, I know.
But bits.
We got to be careful. We got to be very careful on that. So you can give us your thoughts on the Tech coach search if you want to. You can tell us how your bracket's doing. Tech baseball, Oklahoma State. Give us your thoughts on that one. How you think this series is going to go? And we ask you today, question of the day: Texas Tech's baseball rival. Who is it in the Big 12? As you rank the rivals of Texas Tech in the Big 12. What do you got for us? 806-855-3712. Also, you can tell us the most Texan thing that you have done this week. That's every Friday you can tell us that. If you hadn't done anything Texan, run out and do something Texan really quick. I thought you were going to say something. I'm sorry.
Who's the coach? Iowa. Fran McCaffrey.
Yeah, Fran McCaffrey.
Losing again yesterday.
Horrible tournament record.
He's been the coach for how many years?
Was it 16?
They've never been out of the first weekend.
No, never been to the Sweet 16. And yet he stays there and stays there and stays there.
That is good with the mediocrity. And that's like Rick Barnes.
I mean, look at Ferentz. That's almost worse than Rick Barnes.
That is worse than Rick Barnes. It is worse than us.
But I mean, look at what Iowa football has done over the years. That, you know, yeah. Ferentz just keeps his job. And
they're competitive in the conference.
Yeah. That's all they care about.
The in-season stuff is more important to Iowa than the postseason.
Texter asking a question on the text line, which is where the cool texters are, Rob. Texter wants to know, releasing coaches with strange narratives may make Tech hires difficult. True? False? I'll say false because I don't know of any coaches dismissed with strange narratives. Do you? Are you aware of any strange narratives?
Is he talking about previous scandals? Not going after coaches with previous scandals would make the coaching search difficult?
Sounds to me...
Scott Drew's brother?
No, it sounds to me that it's releasing... That Tech releasing coaches with strange narratives may make Tech hires difficult. That they think maybe Tech can't hire a good coach because they release coaches with strange narratives. I'm not sure. How about this, Texter? Just ask the question.
Yeah.
True or false? Can you ask the question? True. You can ask the question.
I mean, they've had no problem hiring softball coaches, and they've released two or three strange narratives in the last decade.
Yeah. Texter wants to know if I heard something I just said.
Okay.
Did you hear what you just said? The Big 12 is the SEC of basketball? How do we become the SEC of football? Will that come in the form of the 48-team SEC Football League in 2 to 4 years? They're not getting what I'm saying, are they? They're not understanding.
No, I think they do. They just can't separate basketball and football.
Oh, okay. Well, then we can't help them.
How about this? And this texter's going to hate it. You can't become the SEC in football. You won't become the SEC in football. You don't want to be the SEC in football. You want to be the Big 12 in football.
And be the best Big 12 you can be.
And you're the Big 12 in basketball. But being what the SEC thinks they are in football, they're not. In basketball, you are. becomes a narrative national media portrays.
Mm-hmm.
The SEC is not the best top to bottom. They're not the best seven in, which West Virginia losing yesterday really hurt that conversation for the year. You need to go 6-0 today or whatever. 4-0 today.
Looking at you, Iowa State.
But those are two different conversations. You'll never overcome what the SEC has built in football.
No.
They're too far ahead.
The game, when I say the game.
And they have Georgia
rigged,
and Alabama.
The game, the college football is not designed for parity. It's just not. So you just kind of ignore it. You live with it. That's the way the game works. If you want to be a part of the game, you go in knowing, hey, this thing's stacked against you. But I don't worry about that.
You're not chasing the SEC.
Nope. You're chasing the Big 12. Hey, Robert, one of our texters, just heard that Steve Alford and Texas Tech have had contact. That is awesome. Hey, I heard Tech and Rick Pitino had contact. To that, I would say, Lord, I hope not, because that would be a wickedly bad hire. A wickedly bad hire.
Is that like the Alumni Association reaching out? Or?
Yeah, I had contact with them recently.
They're asking him for money.
That's what it is, even though he didn't go here.
Pitino, yeah. I wouldn't want contact with Pitino either.
Nope. Not interested. Let him go up there, be with his East Coast pals. He can go coach St. John's if he wants to, get a nice little retirement package. I don't want anything to do with him. I don't want anything to do with Mike Krzyzewski, please. And people who think that that's legit stuff are stoned out of their gourd.
Well, and here's another
can't
thing.
Can't follow internet memes.
Alford could have had contact with Texas Tech.
Oh, I'm sure a lot of coaches.
Pitino could have had contact with Texas Tech. That doesn't mean it's both ways.
I'm sure any coach who's got an agent worth his salt has contacted Texas Tech.
And I'm not opposed to Texas Tech talking to every single candidate that wants to talk.
Not at all. You can learn a lot from those interviews. You can learn a lot about how you are perceived, how your job is valued. You can learn a lot of different things by talking to people that way.
I hope they conduct 20 interviews.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean everybody gets a second interview.
No, but, I mean, you got time. You've got plenty of time. If you don't have a coach hired by April 10th, doesn't matter. Now, I'm pretty sure you'll have one, but you're not in any sort of race like you are in football. The deal is totally different. Speaking of the SEC and basketball, I had to laugh this morning. So their social media department puts out a little infographic picture on Chris Beard, and it's the smiling beardless Beard, and it's all the platitudes about his accomplishments and coaching and everything. And I'm like, and this is before I even saw the comments. I'm just like, I don't think this is going to go well. And one of the first ones, somebody had redone it, you know, with number of arrests, number of hours spent in jail, no, you know, the police, all that stuff. I'm like, how can you not know that's going to happen right now? Just, you talk about not understanding the room. Okay, you made the hire. You had your press conference. Now just lay low for a little while. But every time they do anything, talking about Ole Miss, you know it's going to get savaged. What good does that do? I know you want to try to make everybody feel good about the hire, but for my money, just be happy that you're not getting completely excoriated in the national media because they're busy with the NCAA tournament right now and that nobody cares about Ole Miss basketball. But don't make your life any harder by putting out things on social media that you know are going to get hijacked, that you know are going to get just destroyed.
And they are really... I kind of respect it because they really are tweeting through it. I mean, they're putting out clips, putting out press conferences. They're putting out.
I mean, they just don't care.
Yeah.
They truly do not care what you think.
Yeah. Which, again.
I mean, if that's the way they want to play it. I mean, if that's the way they want to play it.
And
it's almost the only way, I guess, you can play it.
And honestly. In the long term, if you're Chris Beard, it's the only way to play it. You have to be out there.
Yeah.
You have to talk about, or, you know, talk about without talking about everything that's happened, which is what he's done.
Right. Well, he knows what happened. And that's all that matters. He knows what happened.
Right.
Randy True knows what happened. Obviously, the prosecuting district attorney knew what happened. No, we're not going to talk about that anymore. 806-855-3712. I can only imagine the level of analysis going on at halftime right now during this USC-Michigan State game. It's now 6:46 left in the first half. Kennesaw State and Xavier, the three-seed X-Men, 30-29 the lead. Could we be seeing a three-seed go down here in the early window? Speaking of which, shout-out to our friend Wes Reynolds from VSIN, who had the narrative early in the week when he said, don't know how they do it, but you know they do it, and they do every year try to get upsets in that first window, and sure enough, they got everybody fired up with the upsets in the first window there with Furman and Virginia. Unbelievable, but that's the case. How about that pass at the end of the game there that Virginia threw? Well, you were still on the air, weren't you, at the end of that game, so you probably had to watch the replay.
Yep. Yeah, because I was watching Maryland, West Virginia.
Yeah. Out of all the possible things that fifth-year senior could have done, that would have been about number 10 on the list of things that you would want to see happen in that moment.
And they kept going back to, this is the guy that threw the great pass in the national championship Purdue. Run.
Was it Purdue or Auburn? I think it was Purdue.
They did it in both of those games. Yeah, so I don't remember which one it was.
Because he had one, I think it was against Purdue, that he had to track down in the backcourt, and you guys probably remember this.
Didn't they beat everyone in overtime?
Yeah, he got everybody. He throws it back down to the block, basically, from three-quarters court. There's no chance it's going to be caught and shot and made, and of course it was. Oh, well.
They really did feel like a team of destiny at the time.
Did you. Yeah, but so I was going to say, so did Tech. Why couldn't Tech be the team of destiny?
I know.
Or density. I would settle for density.
What a finish.
19, still painful, but still great all at the same time. Yeah. Got to take the time out. 806-855-3712. Working our way through hour number two today. You can tell us the most Texan thing you've done. Tell us who you believe Texas baseball rivals are. How would you rank the top three rivals for Texas Tech baseball in the Big 12? Tell us how your bracket's doing. Whatever else may be on your mind. We want to hear from you. 806-855-3712. It's Ryan Hyatt's Raiderland featuring Rob Bro. /12:21, you got Ryan Hyatt's Raiderland featuring Rob Bro, taking it until 1 o'clock here in the Architect Air Studios. 806-855-3712 to get in. Big 12 baseball team that you consider Texas Tech's rival. How would you rank those? Oklahoma State coming up tonight. Obviously, a huge series for both Texas Tech and Oklahoma State. NCAA Tournament Day 2, and we are still at halftime. 34-all USC and Michigan State, 4:48 to go in the first, and Kennesaw State and Xavier are tied at 34. Getting ready to tip off here in a few minutes, UCSB and Baylor, the first Big 12 team of the day to get in action. By the way, we're tracking how long this halftime is lasting for the first game of the day, and it's definitely longer than your standard 15 minutes. To which I say, why? Because with multiple games going on, it's not like this is the only game that they have to sit there and jam in
right.
analysis and, more importantly, the commercials. That you've got 16 halftimes
You're
today.
You're on all day.
So why are we dragging out these halftimes? Well, I mean, we know why, but there's just no need to do it. Oh, well. You know. Whatever it takes, I guess. It is a TV show. Remember that. You're watching one of the greatest TV shows. But the NCAA, in conjunction with their media partners, puts on a TV show every spring for 3 weekends, and you love it. 806-855-3712. Texter on the text line. I hope that Tech talks to several coaches and agents. While they may not be interested, they may have inside information on someone who is. you're not walking around blind right now if you're Texas Tech wondering who's interested. If they're interested, they've already made it known to you. Their agent has already reached out and said, my client is obviously a little engaged at the moment. However, we would certainly like the opportunity to visit with you at a date in the future if that is amenable to your timeline. If not, we'll meet you at the McDonald's Plainview and we'll be sitting in the corner booth wearing a red hat. Yeah, I mean,
with a coffee and two creamers?
With a coffee and two creamers. That's how you know it's me. Oh, yeah. And that's how many times when we say these things, when coaches say they haven't talked to anyone, they're not lying.
Right.
Their representative has.
Yeah. Oh, we're back.
All right. So basically about a 20-plus minute halftime, it looks like, depending on how far delayed that is. So it's 18:28. It looks like about a 20-minute halftime.
Crazy.
Is what they're running these things. I need to put a watch on it for one of the other games. But yeah, when these coaches, you know, sit there and look you in the eye and in the camera, I can tell you I haven't talked to anybody about a job. My focus is entirely on what's going on in Manhattan, Kansas, and we're just getting ready to play a first-round tournament game right now against Montana State. The only thing I care about is Montana State and Kansas State basketball. I haven't talked to anybody. Meanwhile, checks phone, text message, agent. Good deal. Got some things set up. I'll let you know more after the game. Good luck. And that's a hypothetical.
Right.
That's a purely hypothetical situation and scenario that I am playing out there for you. Yeah, that's how the game is played. And to an extent, you know, even a lot of people think that Texas Tech is going to, that Texas Tech itself is going to announce finalists. No. I don't know of any school that has ever, I'm talking about the school,
right,
that has ever just come out and said, well, here are our three finalists. We're going to bring them in for the interviews and see how it goes. No.
Don Williams will announce
that. Don Williams will announce.
In a week and a half, yeah.
Through his contacts, other people. And truly believe this, that every coaching hire that is made, names are floated out there, that they are, I will just say, hand-delivered to the media in many instances, because they want to see how it plays with the public.
Right.
That they now do have, as opposed to just going down to the old local barbershop on Saturday morning and sitting around with the guys through social media, that the search committee, yes, Kirby Hocutt, Lawrence Skuvenek, Dr. Lawrence Skuvenek to you, who will be on the show on Monday, by the way, that they can now gauge interest. They can now see, okay, well, Steve Alford, who went by the nickname All Fraud at Iowa, it's not going over too well. See, Robert's doing a great job of this. The texter who texted in, I've heard that Steve Alford.
Right.
See, this is how this is working. Robert's doing a bang-up job. But now they do. Trust me, they do passionately care what the fan base thinks, and they have the ability to generate that feedback. That the average fan who doesn't think that their voice gets heard in some of these situations, yeah, there's probably some louder voices and maybe a bigger vote or two with bigger donors or, you know, whatever, however you want to position it. But no, they still listen. And they deliberately, and I'm not just talking about Texas Tech, I'm talking about all universities that got any sort of, you know, wherewithal and wits about them, 100% put some stuff out just to see, all right, how did that go over? Oh, that went over well. Or, okay, probably don't need to do that. Texter on the text line, if the Big 12 needs to be the Big 12 in football, then you'll continue to get beat like a drum in the natty like TCU did by Georgia, or insert whatever SEC champion is playing. I doubt any Big 12 teams will end up in the natty again, even with the diluted playoff. P.S., thank you for spinning a little petty for return music.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Assuming Tech is focusing on a coach who is currently in the tournament, says a texter, is said coach losing earlier or later better? Earlier keeps other potential suitors, Texas, away. Later allows them to be more successful this season. Probably a wash. I mean, I don't think, let's talk deep runs. The teams that I have deep runs in this tournament, you're not hiring their coach. You're not going to hire Bill Self, are you? And we hope he has a deep run this tournament. We hope he's healthy and coaching again tomorrow.
Depends who it is. If a Power 5 team, Power 6 team has a deep run, you're not hiring them.
Yeah. And I'm saying most of the coaches, I think, that you'd look at, you're probably already priced in one. And whether it's next week or the week after, the time frame to me really doesn't matter. And I don't think it's going to make it harder to get that coach. Do you think are you competing against Texas right now in the marketplace?
For a couple coaches, yeah, I'm sure. Yeah,
probably so. I mean, I think they would call up Eric Musselman. I think Tech should call up Eric Musselman. Yep. Keep using it as an example. It's just a nice regional example.
When they've been tied together publicly by, I guess, Texas writers in two jobs, and then the coaches changing account, both Patino and Billy Donovan.
Yeah. I can see the Donovan one, too. And I'll say this again. If Texas decides to move away from Terry, I would absolutely interview him.
Yeah.
He's shown what he can do when he's given the keys to a good car. This is the first good car the man's ever drove from a head coaching standpoint.
He was good at Fresno State. Nobody's been good at UTEP in a long time.
Long time. I don't think Izzo's happy right now. He's tied at 38, USC and Michigan State. Minute 14 left in the half. Kennesaw State now leading 41-36. That's a 14 and a 3. You have our attention, Kennesaw State. Bottom of the hour break. It's a quick one. Jam up the text line. 806-855-3712. It's Ryan I. It's Raiderland featuring Rob Bro.
Director of Public Relations. Aura 299.
It is available only at the Texas UM.
Sir, there's no other.
Okay.
12:35, you got Ryan Hyatt's Raiderland featuring Rob Bro taking you to the top of the hour here in the Arctic Air Studios, and it's the Rob Bro Show from 1 to 2 on Talk 103.9 FM News, Money Sports, ESPN 960 in San Angelo. Follow us on Twitter at Ryan Hyatt Media, at Rob Bro Show. He's one-third of the Gambling Gauchos. You need to follow them as well. And, of course, theraiderland.com, that's our website. Check out all we do right there. Ongoing in progress, and it is now Sparty back out in front of USC, 45-40 with 15:15 to go in the game, and they are at halftime, and it's Kennesaw State, 43-36 over Xavier. Baylor has tipped. They have a quick 6-2 lead, 16:44 to go in the first over UCSB, and then at the top of the hour it'll be VCU and St. Mary's. That is my 12-5 upset. We'll be rolling with VCU in that one. You guys can get in today, a variety of subjects. Obviously, tell us how your tournament bracket is looking right now. I survived at a 12-4 mark yesterday. And I don't know if this happens to you, Rob, but it seems to happen to me almost every year on the first 2 days. One side, like the left side of my bracket, is where most of my losses are. And then the right side, you know, I go 7-1. That one side will just be great. There's no real logical explanation for that.
That's absolutely how it works.
But it does. And somebody explain me that from the mathematical equation. You can tell us who you think Texas Tech's Big 12 baseball rival is. Rank the top three rivalries as it's Tech and Oklahoma State starting tonight. Lady Raiders, a nice win, 67-54 over UTEP. Get a chance to keep that going come Monday. Texter was talking about, is it better or worse for a coach to have a deep run if you're trying to hire him, says, in other words, am I rooting for Kennesaw to pull the upset? Why would you want to hire a coach who can't beat Kennesaw State with baggage? I'm being a little flippant right there, but again, I don't think it matters.
Right.
In this instance with Texas Tech, I don't think it really matters that much.
The Kennesaw State team, now that game's at halftime, up 43-36. A lot of people saying that team looks really fun. Obviously, we're watching the Michigan State game, but on the Gauchos, catch up quickly, 5-6 there against Baylor.
Uh-oh. Big run.
I saw Langston Love was warming up for Baylor today. He hadn't played in a while, if at all.
And Baylor, if they advance, will... there we go. Would probably, I say probably.
Creighton.
Man, Creighton is one of those that could lose day one or go all the way to the Final Four.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, we saw them maybe at their peak before some injuries.
They were at their peak.
Yeah, they're just so streaky as a shooting team. They're kind of on the other end of where Virginia is, where I distrust Virginia's because their offense is so slow plotting and there's no room for error, and you saw what happens. They had made winner, they got beat. Creighton, that they've got to be so high-flying with the threes, and they've got to be hitting. Otherwise, they get beat on the other end, 82-78 or something, whatever you want to do it. Texter, this is a good question. I like this. Do we assume all of the basketball coach prospects are presently head coaches in the tournament? No. No, I have no doubt that McCasland is a candidate for this job. And he's not coaching the NCAA tournament. He's coaching the NIT tournament. Who'd they beat? Alcorn State the other day? They rolled up like 60-something points. It was pretty amazing offense that they were able to put together there. No, I'm sure there are multiple. And when we say candidates, Rob, it's almost too strong a word. Interviewees, people of interest. You know how the cops use person of interest?
Yeah, they're person of interest for the job.
Can we steal that and say people of interest or person of interest for the job? Because candidate seems to rise to a level that I think perhaps is a bit confusing for some folks. Person of interest. McCaslin's a person of interest, all right? But you're going to talk to him.
I think he's also a candidate.
Yeah, he's probably also a candidate, but I was going
not
back to the idea that it's
murky
not...
the waters there.
But they're not all head coaches in the NCAA tournament. You're going to talk to...
Right.
High-level assistants, who knows who all they end up talking to. So, long answer to a good question, no, they're not all sitting head coaches in the tournament. Texter on the said text line, 806-855-3712. If McCasland and his plotting offense can win at a 75% clip at Tech, as he has at all four stops over the past 15 years, sign me up. I ain't got a crystal ball. My crystal ball tells me, though, you need to become a more offensive-focused program.
Yeah.
And that this league is going to require you to score more than 63 points a game. That doesn't mean you don't play defense. People get this all wrong. But you've got to embrace a better, more efficient, higher-scoring offense. You can't play the limited possessions, I think, and consistently win in this league. You're not going to be able to do it.
I mean, the problem, like, do you want to be Virginia?
Even though there's some people screaming, no, they just won a national championship two years ago.
They did. With some perfect matchups and some real dumb luck.
Pretty much just described their run through the tournament that year. Almost every other year with this program, that was the exact opposite.
But they also have two of the most embarrassing first-round losses of all time.
Yeah. UMBC in 2017, and now the 10th. Is this the 11th time the 15 seed has won? I think it's the 11th time. Or not the 15 seed, pardon me. Sorry, I had Princeton on my brain right there. Yeah, I mean, obviously this was, not a 1-16, but still, they got beat because, they get beat, and they lose consistently because they don't score enough.
Yeah. They let the air out of the ball. They flatten the game. I don't know.
I don't believe that's going to be good enough in the Big 12. Now, if getting to the tournament is just getting to the NCAA tournament and maybe you win a game and you lose in the second round or whatever, if that's the goal, then do I think someone like McCaslin might be able to pull that off? Yeah. But isn't the goal a little bigger now?
Right.
You want to be in the second week of the tournament. That you want to be going to Sweet 16s.
I mean, would McCaslin be like Boynton?
Yeah.
I mean, if you get the one guy in there, you can make a tournament run. They didn't, but if you get the number one overall draft pick, you can make the tournament. Otherwise, you're just going to be playing really tough defense in this conference and not have enough juice.
Yeah.
Because everyone plays defense in the Big 12.
Yep.
Great defense is not good. Great defense is good enough in the Conference USA. Great defense isn't good enough in the Big 12.
Mm-mm. You got to be able to go out and score some points. And that's what kind of caught West Virginia yesterday. Now, that was a game of runs, but it also became a game where the ref show got involved and took away their they play with a slim margin as well. While they are defense-oriented, certainly, if they can't play aggressively, they've kind of turned into a one-trick pony now.
Yeah.
That if they can't do what they do, and still weird that Tech won there and they won in Lubbock, but anyways.
And if you have a top five player in program history and the leading block of a single season in program history and three guys on the bench that could probably start any other year for the team, then yeah, you're going to make some noise. But that collection of talent, I think, overrides the system that was used here most years.
Agreed. 806-855-3712. That's 806-855-3712. Texter, Hyatt, first-time listener, long-time texter. First, congratulations on turning morning into afternoon. I hope you've submitted the streak to the Guinness World Record. Secondly, what do you think of Lainey Wilson's ride into the March Madness commercials? Randy in Gunbarrel City. Do I know this?
Country music artist.
Really?
Yeah.
No clue.
She's very popular on TikTok and Instagram.
Oh, well, that would explain it then. So,
I mean, she's also popular in music, but she's popular for other reasons on TikTok and Instagram.
Has she ever done a song with, did she ever record anything with Waylon? Or Willie?
No.
No? Did she ever do anything with Ferlin Husky or Dwight Yoakam?
I don't believe so.
Yeah, that's probably why I'm missing out on this. Have no idea what the cultural reference goes to. I assume there's a commercial maybe and it plays her music or something?
I think she's in it.
Oh, she's actually in the commercial?
Or maybe it's just her song. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, see, I'm seeing Snoop Doggy Dog on the television right now. I don't know who he is.
An old commercial.
Yeah, it's been rolling for several years now.
You think Corona could up the budget for a new commercial every year?
Well, no. I mean, think about what they do at Christmas with the little palm trees with the Christmas lights. They've been playing that for 25, 30 years. You know, they just get one and they just, you know, whatever. We're good. Bother Sister Jean. By the way, we're not doing live play-by-play. We're just talking about some of the stuff that's being shown. Even if we were doing it, we're so far behind.
Yeah, I think we're fine.
That we're going to be okay. What is she now, 103?
That's awesome. With the delay, I think she's probably still 102.
102 on the delay. The updated scores. Man, USC going to hang around, and they're going to break my heart, aren't they? They're down 51-47 with 11:30 to go. We're still at the half with Kennesaw State and Xavier, 43-36 Kennesaw State. And Baylor with a one-point lead over UCSB, 12-11, 12:20 to go. I'll give you an in-game line on this one. Baylor leads by one right now, 8 minutes into the game. Baylor minus 12.5 for the game.
It's an interesting Dick's Sports commercial. It's the women's tournament.
Right.
But the branding was just March Madness on CBS. The women's tournament's on ESPN. Just a funny.
Minus 12.5 Baylor. Full game.
Current?
That's what I'm making the line. I'm giving you an in-game line. They're up 3 now, 14-11, 8 minutes in.
Yeah, I think they'll probably cover that.
12.5 on that. Easy. All right. You guys can jam up the text line, 806-855-3712. Give us the – you can rank the top three rivals for Texas Tech baseball. They've got one in town tonight, I believe, in Oklahoma State. You can tell us the most Texan thing you have done this week. Tournament day two. How's your bracket hanging in there? Whatever else may be on your mind. We're going to finish it up strong, finish up the week strong. It's Ryan Hyatt's Raiderland featuring Rob Bro. Segment of the day, final segment of the week. Ryan Hyatt's Raiderland featuring Rob Bro, taking you till the top of the hour. Arctic Air Studios on ESPN 960 in San Angelo. Talk 103.9 FM News Money Sports here in the Hubaplex. Big 12 baseball teams, how do you rank them as far as rivals go for Texas Tech baseball? It's Oklahoma State tonight. We're checking out tournament day two and whatever else you got, we want to hear from you. 806-855-3712. 1-2. Yeah, I'm not feeling real good about USC right now. 10-seed Trojans. Ooh. Against 7-seed Michigan State, and it is 58-49 Michigan State with 9:18 to go.
Yeah, they've erased a 9-point lead already, but that was a terrible pass from USC that led
run
to
out
coast to coast.
A little dunk.
I've got a text on the personal here that said you probably know Lainey Wilson from Yellowstone. They said you're a big Yellowstone fan.
Oh yeah, huge Yellowstone fan. Baylor, you probably should have taken the. Got that 12.5. I think the end game is probably going to go up to 13. It's 21-16 now, Baylor over UCSB. 8:45 to go. VCU and St. Mary's getting set to tip here in just a few minutes. I've got VCU. Did you roll with that as one of you, as a 12-5, or did you take St. Mary's? I can't remember who you had in your bracket now.
I don't either.
And then Kennesaw and Xavier are still at the half. They'll resume that game at 3 o'clock Central right after the halftime commercials are done. 43-36, Kennesaw State. Out in front right now. So
I did pick Xavier as the national champion, though.
Yeah?
But I was an extreme hater when I initially filled out my bracket. Didn't want Texas, didn't want Houston, didn't want Kansas. All the usual I almost picked UCLA, but all the usual suspects on that side of the bracket I didn't want
right.
to give any credence to.
Texter has correctly pointed out that United States Senator Ted Cruz from the state of Texas was one of the few to still have a top bracket as of last night. Yeah, he went, I think he went 16-0 yesterday on the bracket or something like that.
People were really upset with Governor Abbott yesterday
on
his bracket.
Oh, it had something to do with the bracket. I just thought about him just being the governor of Texas.
Yeah, Houston and Alabama in the championship game had picked Alabama. Can I give a piece of advice to politicians?
Yeah.
If you're a state politician, just every team in your state, put them in the Final Four if there's enough.
Yeah. Yeah, totally just do it, that.
You do not need to be right on this.
Nope.
Just go Homer, Baylor, Houston, Texas in the Elite Eight. You'd have to pick between Texas and Houston. At that point, who cares? Just put them all in the Final Four and have an all-Texas national championship game.
Yes, do that.
And then pick one of them.
I mean, if you're...
Might create more enemies, but at least you'd pick somebody from Texas.
I don't know. Did President Biden do one?
Yes, he picked Virginia to win.
Oh.
Or Arizona, one of the two.
Oh.
Yeah, one
him
of the... He either had Virginia or Arizona, yeah.
Oh, well.
I think it was Virginia.
Yeah.
Did you see Kamala have to go in and talk to Howard?
Oh, gosh. The quotes like
You made all of us proud.
Yo, this team, this season, this team, this season, this team. It was like she was talking to a bunch of kindergartners who had a really good recess.
Yeah. Would you want to listen to any vice president?
Hail
after
to the no. Regardless of your political affiliation, the last thing I want is somebody trooping into my locker room with the entourage and the Secret Service and everything else,
yeah.
And I got to sit there and watch you make a campaign stop that went horribly wrong.
The first game that they'd been to all year, probably.
Oh, yeah. Never seen them before. Texter says, Texas Tech baseball rivals, OSU and TCU, and that's all. Baylor and the remaining schools have been bad at one point or another.
Baylor,
those are the only two.
Is awful this year.
You know,
West Virginia is kind of a sneaky... rival. They get chippy.
They get. I was about to say, they get under your dang skin.
Yeah, and Randy Mazey has had some success against Tadlock.
Yep. I agree. West Virginia is a sneaky rival right there. Trying to get the RPI to load up properly, and it's just all jicked up right now, so it doesn't really matter. It doesn't really help. I think Oklahoma State, though, is coming in about 16 on D1 baseball. Either 16 or 18, and Tech is coming in 44. But expect, win or lose, Texas Tech's RPI in baseball this weekend is going to shoot up. That if you go 2 of 3 against Oklahoma State, you'll probably be in the top 20 in the RPI. That you're going to get that bump by doing that. I mean, even if you go 1-2, you're going to go up. The only way you will go down is if you go 0-3. And you're still, it's not going to crush you. And I certainly don't expect Texas Tech to go 0-3. But I believe Texas Tech can get 2 out of these 3 here, and that you're going to be sitting there looking at a top 20 RPI on Monday, and a team that is controlling their destiny in the earliest stages of the Big 12 race.
Fair to say the Friday winner wins the series?
I think so, but that Saturday matchup is just so good. I mean, that's their All-American. We do not have Sunday starters. TBA, throw best available. But you've got their All-American and Juwan Watts-Brown going on Saturday against Mason Molina.
Anthony Molina.
Legendary Anthony Molina.
That sounds like a boxer name.
You know, Brown has been as advertised, sub 2 ERA, 199. Tough right-hander. Molina, the lefty, 2-0, just over 2 on the ERA. That's going to be great.
Oklahoma State comes in winning 12 straight. They struggled out the gate a little bit offensively. But then they had two no-hitters. Were they back-to-back?
I don't know if they were back-to-back or like.
And it was like 6-0, 1-0 were the two games. So they really didn't look like they dominated in the second no-hitter, but it was a no-hitter. And they've thrown two of them. And that West Virginia guy, I can't think of his name right now, but he has two complete games. So there's some pitchers out there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Mason Molina has been as good, but he certainly doesn't have a no-hitter, and he doesn't have a complete game on his tally.
So let's take care of that Saturday.
That would be awesome.
2-0 Tech win. No-hitter, complete game. No pressure, Molina. Texter says, Lainey Wilson sings her hit, Heart Like a Truck, in the Ram Trucks commercials. Never heard of her. She walked into the studio right now. I wouldn't know who she is.
You'd know if she walked out, I think.
Maybe so. Rob Bro's show is coming up. Follow me on Twitter at Ryan Hyatt Media. TheRaiderLand.com as well. We'll be with you tonight at some point with a little diamond talk or something, maybe. Rob Bro's show is next. For Rob, I'm Ryan. We'll see you Monday in Raiderland.
Ryan Hyatt's Raiderland, a presentation of the Texas Town Square Media Network.